I'm Kurt Hosworth with Public Radio 90 WNMU FM, and this is The Local Spin. I'm pleased to welcome All Strings Considered. They are a traditional old-time string band, and they're a focus on instrumental and vocal music of the Southern Appalachian region. So we're going to welcome all four of you today, Jamie Kitchell, and we've got Maggie Morgan, and then we've got Annette Watts and Phil Watts. So good to have all four of you here today. Getting nice and cozy for us here on The Local Spin. So it's great to have you all here, and also great to hear that you've all been able to start making some music again. So let's talk about how it's been a long road for musicians during this whole coronavirus pandemic. You know, you've had events canceled or things have been rescheduled. How does it feel to be all back together making music?
Great. It feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels good. You know, our last concert we played was over at the Falling Rock in Munising on March 7th, 2020. So we're 14, 15 months that we basically didn't play any music together. And then we started getting out a little bit outdoors when the weather warmed up. And now we've had a couple of sessions over the last 2 weeks to try to get that timing back and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been nice to get back out again, especially these have been outdoor gigs lately, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've kind of decided to focus on more informal things for a while, just to see what develops rather than getting back into the concert scene.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to play it, because it's always good to have a little extra caution when there's something like this and the tendency to want to kind of get back to normal. You know, there's a lot of new normals that are out there, and it's kind of to everyone's level of comfort, especially when you've got an ensemble with multiple people too. But let's talk about your history a little bit, because you all have been around for, what's it, about 9 years, and you've all had a different road leading towards performing traditional music. So how'd you all get together making music, and what would you say has kept you coming back towards making traditional music together? Anyone can go first.
We're all kind of Hiawatha connected. I mean, that's a lot of the link. And I think we all played traditional music before we met, right? And Phil and Annette and I met at some jams that used to be held at the old 231 Muses Gallery downtown, the one that's now Marquette's 500th Bakery. And yay, by the way. But so we all met so the three of us met at that jam. And then I don't remember when we met.
Then we met at Coffee Cup. Then those jams moved to the Coffee Cup.
Okay, there we go.
And so we've been playing music together for the four of us informally for 18 years, probably close to that.
Ages, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then joined formally as a band about 9 or 10 years ago. We just started playing dances.
2011. We got invited to play for one of the openings of the United Conference that Northern sponsored. And so we had just been jamming together. So we formed a little group, and we played for that opening. And then said, hey, that was a lot of fun.
Let's do it again.
Yeah. So then we started playing some local square dances, contra dances. And we said, oh, that was a lot of fun. So I think our first formal concert was over in Munising, maybe at the concert in the park there 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So it sounds like it was a pretty organic way of coming together. I mean, you were already familiar with each other, doing the jamming thing, and decided to just kind of come together a little more formally at that point. So that sounds like a great way to bring it all together.
Yeah, and before we get too far into the interview, I have to say that we used to be a 5-member group, and we had a wonderful multi-instrumentalist, Shelley Schuster, who played with us for all of our time together as a band. And she decided to retire during the pandemic. You know, just felt like it was a good time for her to kind of step down and, you know, do some other things. And her plan was it would give us all a chance to, you know, find somebody else and bring somebody else up to speed. And that's kind of not what happened, but like it's the four of us now, but for basically our previous whole life as a band, we had Shelley, our fifth member. So we have to you know, give a shout out to her before we get too far into it.
Sure. And now when Shelley was with the group too, that was also the time period where you decided to put together some recordings, right? Because I was going to kind of segue into Better Than It Sounds. Is she also featured on that album?
Oh, yeah.
She's a major part of that, particularly with the Hammer Dulcimer. Mm-hmm. She and Jamie would trade off on the what we call the lead lines on these fiddle tunes. And it just was a really good sound, we thought.
Yeah. So like I said, before the pandemic, you actually pretty recently had recorded or released the album Better Than It Sounds. And then I believe you also had a release concert to go with that. And I assume that was a really fun project for all of you to put together. So how were the tracks selected through now, you know, even longer than a 9-year period of maybe pulling different songs from different locations? How did you decide on what would make it on the project? And then maybe what were some challenges putting the album together?
Well, at the time, we had a tune and song repertory of about 120 pieces that we would select for concerts, and usually play about 24 of those in a concert. So we kind of used a lottery voting system where everybody kind of picked some that they thought were near and dear to their heart and they really wanted on this CD. And so then we narrowed that 124 down to about 20. And then our goal was to come up with about 18 tracks for the CD. And so we all voted again, had another lottery, and came up with about 18, 19 things that we went through the recording process, and some got eliminated at the end, you know, but I think that's pretty much how it went.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fairly democratic for a group decision-making process. So that's good. Are there any that you all kind of voted for together? You were like, yes, these are absolutely our favorites.
Yeah. Tamlin was definitely, I feel like, in a unanimous that we really kind of worked to, I don't know what the right word is, like orchestrate to get our sound.
Tamlin is one where I always said we sound more like a symphony orchestra than a five-piece string band.
Yeah.
But we really like it. It's got good fiddling, good hammer dulcimer playing. And
then I think we really were just trying to get a good example of what our sound is. So both mm-hmm. with the vocals and, you know, the fiddle tunes and mm-hmm. everything you might hear in our concert, just to kind of capture that in the album.
Yeah. And something to highlight everyone's talents, I'm sure, as mm-hmm. well.
Right.
And mm-hmm. with the recording process, what were some challenges of putting it together, and where was it recorded?
Well, it was, the recording, all of it, except a couple of tracks. A couple of tracks were recorded at a studio out in Floyd, Virginia, by a guy Annette and I know out there, and we made a trip out and stopped and stayed at his home and recorded some things. But most of the tracks were recorded on campus in the NMU studio, mm-hmm. and Dan Zini was working with sound and audio with the university at the time, and we did a barter kind of deal where we offered ourselves to be a house band for a workshop that he was doing for to teach students how to set up a sound to record an acoustic instruments, multi-instrument acoustic band. Mm-hmm. And for that, we got a pretty large discount on the studio time. And it took us 3 or 4 days over a month and a half or so to get enough tracks to think we had some pickings. Isn't that about right?
I think so. Yeah. And then we came back again later that spring and did a few more. But yeah, it was a learning process, because it's one thing to play live and you kind of gloss over and, you know, your mistakes and just keep playing. But when you're being recorded and every little sound is getting picked up, it was a new challenge for all of us, but I thought it was a really great learning experience. And for me personally, it was really important also to capture our sound as a band, is just something to have for our own, you know, for me to have, for my kids to have. And, you know, just to, we've worked so hard for so many years together and have become like family, you know? And so to keep, you know, to kind of document that was really important as well.
Yeah.
As sharing it with, you know, the world.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a big personal component to it as well.
Awesome.
I know for me, and I think the others, I don't know, or maybe I forced it on them, is I wanted it to sound like old time music. And old time music is not the kind of music that you go into individual isolation booths to record your track, you know. So all of it was done together, playing together. Right. There were more than one microphone live at the time, but if we made a mistake, then we just had to stop and go back and do it again. Or either it's there.
Yep. Yep. So it sounds like you wanted to keep it as true to life as possible, but you know, if there's something glaring, then maybe go back and redo something. But
right.
It sounds like you captured the spirit of what you do live as much as possible with this album. So
exactly.
That's excellent to hear. And I'm sure the final results, you know, people who have heard it will probably agree with you there too. And speaking of people who can hear it and who can hear you live, you know, talking about the pandemic a bit and how things have been canceled and, you know, even groups have been pulled apart and, you know, people have retired along the way. Lots of different situations have happened. You know, how has COVID-19 affected all of you when it comes to thinking about music and making it? I mean, it's, of course, things were dissolved for a while, but now it sounds like you're starting to come back.
I think we're having so much fun when we do get together. It's like, wow, this is just fun. And, I'd forgotten about that song. Yeah, let's do that one.
Mm-hmm. So there's some rediscovery happening.
Yeah.
You know, at this time.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's
and a renewed sense of appreciation, I think, and, you know, gratitude to be able to be together and play. That's felt pretty strong. And I think too, the time apart gave us some space and time to kind of explore music a bit on our own, which has challenges of its own because there's something about having, you know, something on the calendar that keeps you playing and getting ready for the next thing. But there was also something really nice about having nothing on the calendar and just all of us have now brought more, you know, music to the group that now we're kind of putting together, you know, now that we're back together, we're able to start learning some new stuff together that came as a result of our time apart. So there was a little silver lining there as well.
Yeah.
Now Jamie will say, oh, I learned this a couple of weeks ago and she'll play it. And we're going, yeah, that's really cool. We had to learn that one.
Yeah. Some fun.
And you know, one of the, you know, talk about silver linings, one of the things that I think kept a lot of us musically sane during the pandemic was that the presenters and the musicians, and I assume this is in other kinds of music too, but particularly in traditional music, people really just flung themselves at the internet to keep music happening for people. And you know, Hiawatha did their Live at the Fold Thursday night concert for I don't know how many months, but a long time, where mm-hmm. like every week there'd be a live concert from Hiawatha, and you know, with varying degrees of success because people were doing them from home and people hadn't done them before, and some of them were kind of patchy and weird, but most of them were really neat. And lots of other musicians did the same thing, and people that you would normally not get to hear, or maybe hear once a year at a festival, you could just, you know, flip on your computer and there they were, you know. And there were lots of different ways to pay for them. There was the Patreon system and PayPal, a bunch of different ways where you could still support those musicians. And I thought that was like a wonderful lifeline for those of us mm-hmm. that were kind of stuck at home with nobody to jam with. And every Thursday night, right after the Hiawatha concert, there was a fiddle and bass player, Rachel Eddy and Emily, what's her last name?
Forgotten. You caught me off guard.
Well, sorry. Anyway, I mean,
Rachel and Emily.
They were both just fabulous musicians. And every Thursday night, they'd do like a live online fiddle jam. And they'd pick a key and they'd just go through a bunch of tunes. And you could sit home and play along on, you know, guitar or a lead instrument or just anything. And it was just, you know, it was something. It wasn't as much fun as playing with your friends or, you know, sitting around a jam somewhere or a band practice, but it was still a wonderful opportunity to play and learn some new tunes. And so I think I speak for everybody in my generation that we all have a lot of misgivings about the internet, but it really was a godsend during the pandemic for those of us that wanted to stay connected to music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like if it's in the right hands, it can really provide some great opportunities. And like you said, there's that element of discovery too, when you get to hear something that you may not have been able to hear, or maybe an act that couldn't have made it up to our area. And all of a sudden you get to have them kind of from your living room or from wherever the heck they are. So it's good to hear there's those other silver linings, and also great that we're to the point now where you could start to do some more live concerts and do it at the comfort level that you all feel as well. And I know you've got a few more gigs coming up sometime this summer, right?
Yeah, we're signed up to do two of the Music on Third events that are third Thursday of the month. And we're going to be playing one of those for the month of July and also the month of September. We don't know what the location yet is. In the past, we played those usually up by the Downwind Sports Store, but I'm not sure where they're going to put us this year. And those will be a lot of fun. Again, just informal. People can come by and listen and sing along and dance in the street or whatever.
I'm sure a lot of dancing in the street will be happening as people start to feel more comfortable getting out. And they probably have a lot of wiggles they need to get out too.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good opportunity to do that. Just a reminder, we're speaking with members of All Strings Considered right now, talking about how things have been going during the pandemic and now kind of post-pandemic, and talking about the difference between how it feels to perform music, maybe on the internet compared to finally getting back to doing it in real life, in IRL. So are there any other details about any of your music that you'd like to share right now, or anything else about the album or anything else coming up?
Well, I was gonna show it to you. This is my little stand that holds the CD on my mantle. The artwork was done by Sam Bartlett. He's a wonderful artist. He does these plywood sculptures. He's out in Indiana and has been to Hiawatha as a musician, and he's a great artist and a writer. So he made this for us and put the title of our CD down here, which is Old Time Music, It's Better Than It Sounds. And there's the CD. And people can still get those. They're available, a few of them here in town at Uptown Music and also at the Falling Rock Cafe, or they can contact me through Facebook, or we still have a website going through the month of August that they can check. If they just Google All Strings Considered, that should come up, and they contact me through that or stop me on the street.
Yeah. People will have to stop dancing for a second and then they'll come to you. Well, if there's nothing else, I want to thank all four of you here. We have Jamie, Maggie, Annette, and Phil, four members of All Strings Considered, talking to us today on this edition of The Local Spin. So thank you all for taking the time today. And I am sure glad that you're all able to get out and do some more music again.
Thank you.